Thank you, Pastor.
Good morning. Good to be here this morning. I'll just jump right in this morning and maybe tell some of those other stories later. Take your Bibles and go to Galatians 5, if you would, please. Galatians chapter 5. I hope you had your coffee this morning because you're going to need to think. Oh, no. Your service starts earlier than ours does, so you're brave. But I hope this will help this morning. You're going to need a pen and paper if you like to take notes. I'm going to give you some things. I know some guys that have made a lifetime study out of what I'm about to teach you this morning. And I took this from a 40-page study. So we're going to try and cover 40 pages. No, we're not going to try and cover 40 pages this morning, but we are going to fly through some things. And what I hope to is just plant some seeds, and you can do further study on it. So it might be a little bit like a water hose, but we're just going to fly. But I want you to think about a criminal, a prisoner standing in the courtroom, and his case is being defended by his lawyer, and there's a whole lot of evidence against him. And the judge stands up that one day to declare his verdict, and he says, "You have been found guilty of the crime that you're charged with." And he says, "Though you've been found guilty, I would like to offer you an unconditional pardon, and you're free to go." Now, as he walks out of that courtroom, he's excited, or should be, but then you see a tear run down his face and you say, "Sir, what's wrong? You've just been pardoned." And he says, "I have terminal cancer and I'm going to die." So even in that pardon, there's a grief. Now look at Galatians 5. Verse 17. "For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other." Now watch it. "So that ye cannot do the things that ye would." Now, do you believe that this morning? Or are you too religious to believe that? Have you been in the Christian life long enough to feel the battle? The Romans 7 experience, if you will. "The things that I would not, that do I. And the things I would not, that I do. I mean, oh wretched man that I am." So I'd like to just give you a few thoughts this morning on the difference in contrasting justification and sanctification. Justification and sanctification. We have a flesh. The flesh is the enemy of the Holy Ghost inside you. The flesh is Satan's representative on every human heart. Remember Jesus said in John 15:5, "Without me, ye can do not much."
Nothing.
But we think it's just not much, because, "All right, God, I got this one." But remember how he says, "My strength is made perfect in weakness." So think about our man in court that just got pardoned. He's just been justified in that pardon. Justification is where God declares the criminal offender pardoned from death. But without sanctification, the cure for the internal fatal disease, nothing changes. He might as well be on death row because of that internal disease. By an act of grace, we're pardoned from judicial death. Thank God. But notwithstanding, unless the disease is cured, we die quickly even though we've been pardoned. Can you see that? You're pardoned. It's by a merciful judge. You're justified. You're declared righteous. But in sanctification, you're made holy. You're cured. There's the internal working, where salvation is more of the external working of God. Somebody said this, "Our real trouble is that we do not easily learn to despair of self-improvement." Get saved, wear a tie, look good, win souls. But how? When I've got this internal battle. And if you're honest with yourself, you'll admit it. But some people are too religious to admit it. We feel that if we were more watchful, more prayerful, more resolute, more determined, we might be able to realize the rest in Christian victory. But it's not the case. We do not learn to trust Christ for victory until we cease to trust in the flesh.
Amen.
So I want to look at some of these things here. The question is then, how do we grow spiritually if we cannot change in the flesh? I mean, I don't know about you, but I'd like to grow. The key is this. I'll give you the key and then we'll expound on it here in a minute. It's not a changed life. It's an exchange life. I'll say that again. It's not a changed life, but an exchange life. It's not a reformed life, but a transformed life. See, theology without transformation is futile. See, the average Christian wants God to solve his problems without changing his life. There should be in the believer a continual, invisible, supernatural transformation taking place. My pastor, if I've heard him say it once, I've heard him say it 100 times. You cannot live for Christ until you consent to your death with Christ. You cannot live for Christ until you consent with your death with Christ. Most churches are just an old Adam improvement society, trying to make the flesh look good. See, but we're not machines. God's not trying to fix us. He's trying to change us. So justification and sanctification, there's some similarities. Both find their source in the grace of God, and it's free. Both are the work of salvation with which Christ has given. Both are found in the same person in Jesus Christ. And they both begin at the same time. But I'm sure you're familiar with the term rightly divided. Now, I'm not going to get into the details of that because everybody might have a different twist on that. But I will say this. You can simplify your Bible and the process of rightly dividing a lot if you will rightly divide between justification and sanctification. Well, what does that mean? Look at Romans chapter 5. You're going to need your Bibles. We're going to look at some scripture. There's way too many scriptures to look at this morning, so I'm going to give you a lot of references you can write down and do your own study. But I'll just show you a couple places where rightly dividing between justification and sanctification helps explain some things. Because people run into problems, and unfortunately, as Baptists, we have majored on justification and minored on sanctification. But here's the deal. You're going to get saved in a moment of time and then spend the rest of your life trying to figure out how to live for God. So which one should we spend more time on? Is learning how to live for God. There's more in the New Testament about what to do after you're saved than on how to get saved. But we've made everything about salvation. And you have to get saved. Salvation's the starting point, but it is the starting point. And then you go on from there. Hebrews says, let us go on. So look, watch this. Romans 5 verse 10. And you will see justification and sanctification in one verse. But not knowing the difference can cause confusion. Verse 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Now does that sound like salvation? Can you agree with me on that? We're reconciled to God in salvation from our sin by the death of Christ. Hallelujah. Watch it now. Much more being reconciled, so being saved, being born again, we shall be, what? Notice that shall be, like future and continuous. Shall be saved, what? By His life. So you've got the dying Christ there for our salvation, and then we've got a salvation that's a continuous salvation. Shall be saved by His life. Does that make sense? Shall be saved by... So you need the dying Christ and the living Christ. And most Christians serve just the dying Christ. But you need the resurrected Christ. Yeah. There's a problem. When you go to repent as a Christian, you don't go to the cross. In your mind and in your faith, you went to the cross at salvation. It's like Pilgrim. He looked up and he saw that cross and that burden rolled off his back in Pilgrim's Progress. But you don't go there as a Christian. Where do you go as a Christian? The throne of grace. To find mercy and grace to help in time of need. But if you go to the cross to confess, you're going to the dying Christ, and He can't help you anymore if He's already saved you. You need a living Christ. You need an advocate. You need the throne of grace. So differentiating between justification and sanctification clears that verse up. Let's look at another one. Ephesians 1. Go to Ephesians 1 and 2 Corinthians 5. Ephesians 1 and 2 Corinthians 5. Let me make a comment on Romans 5:10 that we just read, how we're reconciled by His death, but saved, shall be saved by His life. The message of justification, you might want to write this down. The message of justification is not only help and hope and healing, but for the reconciled by His death, it takes us out of the devil's domain. Hallelujah. When you're saved, you got free from all that. Glory to God. But, so reconciled by His death takes you out of the devil's domain, but to be saved by His life in sanctification heals the damage that sin has done. Well, I'm saved. Why do these things haunt me? If I'm a new creature in Christ, why does this past still have His grip on me? Being saved by His life heals the damage that sin has done and takes us out of self's domain. See, the one takes you out of the devil's domain, but sanctification takes you out of self's domain, the flesh. Now watch this. Ephesians 1:6. I love this verse. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Thank God for that. He's made us accepted in the Beloved in Christ. But watch this. You'll find a contradiction in your Bible. I'm kidding. But some would think it is. And I'm trying to show you the importance between justification and sanctification. 2 Corinthians 5:9, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. So the one verse just said, I am accepted. And this one says, I have to work to be accepted. Well, which is it? It's both. The one, accepted in the Beloved, is your standing in Christ when you're saved. But to labor to be accepted is your state, and that can go up and down. I have a bad day, I can have a good day, I can walk with God one day. Now that doesn't change the fact I'm accepted in the Beloved in Christ. Thank God for that. When He looks at me, He sees His Son. But I can go up and down like this. I mean, Peter walks on water one minute and sinks the next, right? And that's just how life is. But without understanding justification and sanctification, you're going to think, man, I've got to work for God so I can be accepted. And you're going to work your tail off all your life and wonder why you don't have any joy.
Yeah, right.
So let's just roll right into this. Draw, as my pastor would say, draw a horizontal line down the center of your page. What he means is a vertical line. But we're going to contrast. Put on the left side justification and put on the right side sanctification. And I'm going to give you a whole bunch of things. Like I say, you could study this a whole lot more. But just to contrast the two, and I hope it'll help. And you can straighten out a lot of things in your Bible and in your own walk, understanding the difference. All right, so justification is a reckoning and accounting a man to be righteous for the sake of another, Jesus Christ. You get saved, and God cleanses you in His blood, and you're born again. But sanctification is making a man inwardly righteous, though very slow and feeble. Justification, our own works are an intrusion into justification. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. We preach it all the time. Your good works don't save you, right?
Right.
But in sanctification, our own works are important. God says to fight, to watch, to pray, to strive, to labor. In justification, it's a finished work upon your salvation, upon conversion. It's done. Jesus said it is finished. But sanctification is a progressive work. It's as long as a Christian lives. It's ongoing. We never arrive. In justification, there's no growth or increase but one is fully justified the moment he is saved.
Amen.
To as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God.
Yes.
You're saved. Once saved, always saved. And it's instant. Thank God.
Yeah.
It's not a growth. I've got people that think they grew into salvation, and I'm pretty sure they're not saved.
Yeah.
But sanctification is a growth. It's a continual work. It's a process. Justification refers to our person. Am I going too fast? There's a 40-page study if any of you teachers with questions, and you can make this into an entire Bible study. I can give it to you. Justification refers to our person, our standing in God's sight, and deliverance from guilt. At the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away.
Amen.
It takes away the guilt. But sanctification deals not with our person, but with our nature. See, a dog doesn't bark to be a dog. A dog barks because he is a dog. A sinner doesn't sin to be a sinner. He sins because he is a sinner. There's a nature inside you. There's a difference in the Bible between sin and sins. When the Bible says sins, that's sins committed. Those are dealt with in justification when you get saved. But sin as a nature, as a power within you, is dealt with in sanctification. And not understanding that, you'll wonder when you fall on your face what's going on. You'll doubt your salvation when you fall. Justification gives us our title to heaven. Sanctification makes us ready for heaven. Make sense? I lost you? Justification, you're accepted in the Beloved. Ephesians 1:6, we looked at that. But sanctification, you're acceptable. There's a difference between accepted and living acceptably. The worst Christian in the world is seated in heavenly places in Christ, but their life could be a mess.
Yeah.
On acceptable, under sanctification, write down Romans 14:18 and 2 Corinthians 5:9. We looked at that last one. When I see your heads, look up when you're done writing. In justification, we're seated in heavenly places. That's Ephesians 2:6. But in sanctification, we're stuck here on earth. That's Philippians 1:23 and 24. Paul says, I'd love to get out of this body. Making sense? Remember Paul? Let's look at it. Galatians chapter 2. I'm sure you know this verse. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Wait a second. I thought Jesus died for my sins. Right, he did. But there's another part to it. You don't die for your sins, but you need to die to be free from sin. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Flip over to chapter 5, verse 24. And they that are Christ's have crucified what? The flesh with the affections and lusts thereof. In Romans 6 and verse 6 it says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Well then, why am I defeated if I should not serve sin? The difference between justification and sanctification. See, again, on your page, on the columns, under justification, write down, Jesus died on the cross for what I did. my sins I committed. But under sanctification, write, I am on the cross for what I am. See, God didn't forgive your flesh when He saved you. We'll look at a verse on that in a minute. Colossians 3:3 says, ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. So Jesus died for what I did. I die on the cross for what I am. I am crucified with Christ. See, I did sin. Anybody not sinned here this morning? But see, I did the sin. I committed the sins. But what I am is a death-deserving sinner. And God, even in all His power, could not save your flesh. So it has to be crucified. That's why He said, I'm crucified with Christ. See, justification bought my redemption. But sanctification, you on the cross, you dying with Christ, brings your transformation. Am I losing you? I don't see smoke yet. Like I said, this is a big study. Look, we'll look at a couple verses. 1 Peter 2:24. This is on the justification side. 1 Peter 2, verse 24. We could go through lists of scriptures on either column. But I'll just give you a few, and I hope it just whets your appetite to understand more. 1 Peter 2:24 says, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree. Thank God for that. Aren't you glad He bore your sin when you couldn't carry the load of your own sin? That's the justification. He bore our sins in His own body on the tree. But look at Philippians 3:10. Ephesians 1:7 says we have redemption through His blood. That's justification. But then Philippians 3 verse 10 says that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. And the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. So on the one side, He died for me. And the other side, I died with Him. And Paul's saying this as a saved man, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. Remember I said the dying Christ takes care of your sins, and the living Christ, the resurrected Christ, the resurrection power, takes care of you as a sinner. There's more scriptures on that. Under justification, write down 1 Corinthians 15:3, Ephesians 1:7, Colossians 1:14. Under sanctification, write down Romans 12:2, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. 2 Corinthians 3:10, Colossians 3:3. So, let me break it down a little bit more. Under justification, write down, Christ died for me. You may have already written that down. You may have said that. That's Romans 5:19. You don't have to turn there, but I'll read it to you. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Christ obeyed the Father, did the perfect will of the Father, and was the perfect sacrifice for our justification. Justification is our standing before God because of the sacrifice of Christ. But under sanctification, right, I died with Christ. And that's our state. Difference between standing and state. Our standing never changes. Our state can be all over the map. Under justification, write down the blood. Thank God for the blood of Christ.
Amen.
Those in Exodus 12, they put that blood on the lamb on those doorposts, and they sat inside where they could not see the blood. The blood was on the outside, so when that death angel came, God would pass over them and the judgment would pass over them. So if you're trying to see the value of the blood, stop. God said the blood is valuable. The blood was for God. The blood was on the outside where they couldn't even see it. They just had to believe in it. And thank God for the victory it brought. You can write down 1 Peter 1:18-19. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. That's the early part of Romans. If you look at Romans, chapters 1 to 5, it deals with the blood, primarily. The blood covers what you did. But under sanctification, don't write down the blood, write down the cross. See, only the blood of Christ can wash away your sins, but it can only wash away your sins. It cannot wash away your nature. And we'll look at a verse again in a minute that deals with that. But so what I'm saying, the blood deals with what you did. The cross deals with what you are. If you look in Romans, once you hit chapter 6, which begins the sanctification, Romans, your basic outline of Romans is chapters 1 and 2 is how God sees us, all as sinners, 1, 2, and 3. Then chapter 4 and 5 is how God saves us, that it's a faith salvation and a free salvation. But then chapters 6, 7, and 8 in Romans is how God sanctifies us. So there's a transition between Romans 5 and 6. You're already saved, and now what do I do that I am saved? And then it goes from there into service. So the blood deals with what you are, the blood deals with what you did, the cross deals with what you are. On the justification side, write down cleansing from guilt. You know how it was when you got saved and that peace came and you felt clean and washed by the blood of Christ?
Amen.
See, under that, you're pardoned. But you're not innocent. See, to accept a pardon, there has to be an admission of guilt.
Yeah. That's right.
So he doesn't declare you innocent in salvation. He declares you pardoned because you're guilty.
Yes.
The sins committed. That's Romans 4:5 and Romans 5:1. Being justified freely by his faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That deals with sins committed. So the one side's cleansing from guilt, but on sanctification, it's deliverance from the power of sin. So we're not dealing with the guilt anymore, we're dealing with the power of it. See, sanctification is not being declared righteous. That's justification. Sanctification is being made righteous. You're being conformed to the image of Christ. Let's go on. I know I'm moving fast. Justification deals with your acts of sin. And that's redemption. I've said this before. Sanctification deals with your nature of sin. And that brings transformation. I've mentioned this a couple of times that God did not forgive your flesh in salvation. I'll prove that to you. Look at Romans chapter 8. Now, if you know anything about the King James Bible, you know the new Bibles change Romans chapter 8, verse 1. And understanding this will explain why they change it. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." Thank God for that. But the new Bible stopped there. But our Bible says, "Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Well, what's that mean? See, they don't understand justification and sanctification, so they have to take that out. But here's the deal. There's no condemnation if you're in Christ. But if you start living wicked and walking after the flesh, there'll be some condemnation. Contamination from below, condemnation from above. Just try living in the flesh for a while and you'll understand it. You'll feel that condemnation. You know how it is when you live carnal, if you're saved. If you're not saved, you can live carnal and enjoy it. But the Holy Ghost inside you, if you're saved, will not let you enjoy it. He'll go on a sit-down strike and won't give you any power until you surrender. Now let's go on. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Boy, we could spend a lot of time on that, but if you want to illustrate it, just write down the law of gravity and the law of aerodynamics. The law of sin and death there is like the law of gravity. It holds you down. I have something in me that holds me down, my flesh. But the law of the Spirit of life in Christ is like the law of aerodynamics. An airplane can fly in spite of gravity. The one law is higher than the other law. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ, and then there's the law of sin and death. Don't have time to explain that. For verse 3, for what the law could not do. Notice there's some things the law cannot do. In that it was weak through the what? Flesh. God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. Now watch this. Justified sin in the flesh. Is that what it says? It says condemned sin in the flesh. Well, I thought He justified our sins. He did. But He didn't justify your flesh. He condemned it. Yeah. It needs to die.
Yes.
That's why I'm crucified with Christ. Because my flesh cannot be saved. He saved me from my sin, but He did not save me from my flesh. That's why I must die. Consent to my death with Christ. Now watch verse 4. That the righteousness, He condemns sin in the flesh. Does that make sense? God forgave your sin, but not your flesh. Can you see that? Alright. Now watch verse 4. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, not by us. See, a legalist wants the law to be fulfilled by you. Do this, do this, do this, follow all these rules. But he's saying it can be fulfilled in you. And what's in will come out. But we focus so much on the out, we forgot about the in.
Yeah, right.
Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So your nature is not forgiven. You need a transformation. Spurgeon said, grace is not a clean glove to put on a dirty hand. That if we don't fix the inside, why bother having it on the outside? See, but it takes longer to get to work from the inside out than to work from the outside.
Right.
Another one. Under justification, write down it's complete. And it's substitutionary. That's Hebrews 10, 11, and 12. It's complete. It's instant. The moment you get saved, the Bible says there's no more sacrifice for sins. Thank God. Once and for all.
Amen.
But under sanctification, write down, it's progressive. So the one's complete. This one's progressive. And it's representative. This one was substitutionary. This is representative. Well, what's that mean? Well, if any man sin, we have an advocate. He represents our case. And that's talking to saved people. Well, I thought I wouldn't sin anymore once I got saved. I don't know about you, but I do. And I need an advocate. Write down Romans 8:13. Ephesians 4:24, that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. See, the new man in Christ is not a new and improved you. It's Christ in you. Representative. An Old Testament example is Exodus 23:29. where God says, I will not drive them out from before thee in one. He's talking about the nations in Canaan. He left some kings there that they had to defeat. Just like in our life, there's some things we still need victory over, even though we're saved. I remember even Paul in Philippians 3, 12 to 14 says, I strive after, I have not attained. Well, what's that mean? It's dealing not with justification, but sanctification. Let's go on to another one. I know I'm flying through these. On justification, it's the dying Christ at Calvary. Under sanctification, it's the living Christ on the throne. They're both by faith. By faith, you believe in the dying Christ, and by faith, you believe in the living Christ. Justification deals with birth. You must be born again. Sanctification deals with growth. And let me give you an Old Testament example again to illustrate the two. Israel, slaves in Egypt for about 400 years. Pharaoh rules. And I mean, you know the story, it's horrible. Moses comes in there and says, let my people go. And they come, finally, you know the battles and the plagues. And they come out of Egypt, and God says with a strong hand, and then they get what? Backed into a corner by the Red Sea. Now remember, it was the blood of the Lamb that brought it out, right? We referred to the door on the blood on the doorpost. But they come up to the Red Sea, and you want to talk about between a rock and a hard place. Pharaoh's coming, the Red Sea's in front of them. What do? Do you remember what Moses said? He said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And God parts those waters and they cross over. And then they start going. But remember where they go to? The wilderness. Kind of like sometimes in our Christian life, we feel like we're just in a dry and weary land in the wilderness for 40 years. And they wander around in this wilderness and then they get to Jordan. Now, a lot of our songs and a lot of things have made Jordan crossing over into heaven. But let me ask you this. I think there were 33 kings in Canaan land that they had to kill. Does that sound like heaven to you? Now, notice the difference, though, between crossing Jordan and crossing the Red Sea. The Red Sea, they said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Crossing Jordan, it says, they said, put out your foot and step. And as soon as they stepped into the water, God parted it. There was something they had to do. There was a step of faith they had to make. They couldn't do anything to cross the Red Sea. They couldn't do anything for their justification, their deliverance from the power of Egypt, the world. But in coming out of the wilderness to the promised land, to a place of fruit and milk and honey, they had to take a step of faith.
Amen.
That's your sanctification. He says, every place that the sole of your foot doth tread will I give you. They had to do something about it. It was still all the work of God. God parted the water. God made the way. God provided everything they needed. But it wasn't quite the same as salvation in terms of them stepping out. You can write down Joshua chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. He says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan. So there's a difference between Egypt and the wilderness in your Christian life. And it illustrates justification and sanctification. Have you crossed Jordan? Are you in the promised land? Notice it wasn't peace and roses. They still had some battles. But they battled within the promised land rather than in the wilderness. There's a difference. I'm saying God has given us. Peter said we're given all things that pertain to this life and godliness through the knowledge of Him. See, Romans 7, that battle, the things I would do, the things I would not do. Unfortunately, somebody said this. Romans 7 is not Christian experience, but it is the experience of most Christians. See, struggling is a sign of life, but it's not abundant life. But you are crucified with Christ. I'll say this and I'll be done. Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ. I'm going to ask you three questions. Write down historically, write down doctrinally, and write down experientially. Historically, doctrinally, experientially. Historically, when did Christ die? Talk to me. About 2,000 years ago. So plus or minus around 2,000 years ago. Historically, Christ died. So I am crucified with Christ. So historically, when did I die? When was I crucified with Christ? If we're in Christ, about 2,000 years ago. It's like that old preacher that was visiting Golgotha in Israel, and somebody put up his hands, or somebody said, has anybody been here? He put up his hand and said, yeah, 2,000 years ago. I'm crucified with Christ. So historically, 2,000 years ago. Doctrinally, when are you crucified with Christ? When you're saved. Experientially, when are you crucified with Christ? When you believe it. Remember Hebrews 10, verse 10 says, by the which will we are sanctified, even through the offering of His death. Well, I thought the cross brought our justification. It also brought our sanctification. It's an accomplished act. When you believe it, you get to experience it. Christ died for you, and that brought our salvation. Christ in you brings your sanctification. And Christ through you, it brings your service. Will you believe it? Believing God about yourself and for yourself is not pride. See, we can believe He saved us, but somehow we struggle to believe that He sanctified us. There's a difference between the two. And knowing it can change your Christian life. Father, bless your word this morning. I pray this would plant a seed that would produce a hunger and a study that someone could go forth out of the wilderness into Jordan and walk in victory with you. Lord, you said, I came that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.